Welcome to the October 20th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 through 23, and the sermon is entitled, The Contented Church, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
So today, we are going to conclude a sermon series through the book of Philippians. If you are new with us, we are conducting a study through four books. We're calling it the GE Power Company Study. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and next week we move into Colossians. So today we're going to finish our journey through the book of Philippians with sermon number 18 as we gather here today. This is a letter of love that was written by the missionary Paul to the church at Philippi. And if you remember, Paul was very instrumental along with a mission team who sailed to the continent of Europe, and they got off of the boat. And the first church of Europe was founded in Philippi, this very church. So all the churches of Europe can truly trace back their history to this one congregation that began under Paul's leading. And he loved this church. If you remember, as he wrote this letter, he was not able to be with them. He was 600 miles away in Rome in a prison because he was arrested as a preacher of the gospel of the living Lord Jesus Christ. But the Philippian church loved their founder. They loved their spiritual father in St. Paul. He gave them good counsel along the way. One of the greatest verses in this passage that we're going to study, actually we studied last week, we're going to move on, but I remind you to underline Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Because in that verse that we studied last week, Paul tells the church to think on things that uplift and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our church and in your life. Paul says, live by these things because what you think is what you will do. You center your minds on evil things, that's what will come out. You center your minds on the things of God, that's where your life will be. Think on these good things, these godly things, these things of praise as we give our lives to the living Savior Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. This is the way he concludes that thought. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. He says this, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace and the God of peace shall be with you. So he says, think on these things. You've seen me live in this way. You live in that same way as well. And the God of peace is going to be with you and lead you. Now we're moving on in the letter. We're going to study the conclusion of the letter from verses 10 through the end, which is verse 23. Keep your Bible open in your lap because we're going to take this little chunks at a time through the sermon today. We're going to look at verses 10 through 13 in these moments as we begin this conclusion to the letter that Paul writes to his brothers and sisters in Philippi. So turn to chapter 4, go to verse 10, hear these words as he's now hitting the runway to the conclusion. He says, Philippians 4:10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Keep your Bible open. We will move on from these verses. But if we go back to verse 10, you see there was a time, Paul refers to, that the Philippian church was not contacting him. And here's what happened. He was arrested in Rome, and the church literally lost track of where Paul was. They didn't know where he was. They didn't know how to get in contact with him. So maybe as much as 2 years passed before the church at Philippi realized or got the information as to where Paul truly was. He was in jail in Rome. But upon hearing the news, they immediately began reaching out to him and sending ministry to him. It was a great comfort to him to have this church back in his life. He had missed them. He loved them so much, and they loved him. And it was a great reunion for them to be back in his life. because he was living hard days here. He was a missionary who loved to be on the road, who loved to travel, who loved to take the gospel to pioneer areas of the world and preach the name of Jesus Christ, mostly to those who had never even heard the name. A true pioneer missionary in the Roman Empire. Now he was caged in Rome. And it was hard for him to be in a prison cell when his heart wanted him back out on the road. These were hard days. But he quickly tells the Philippian church, I'm not complaining that I'm here. I'm not complaining that this is my station of life right now. Because in this prison, God is teaching me a valuable lesson. Look at verse 11 again. 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So the wise old missionary, speaking to a church of new Christians relatively, he says to them, I'm not complaining about where I am. I'm not living in my ideal condition right now. This jail cell is not my preference. However, I am learning by the will and the way of God that wherever I am, I can be content. I can be content with my life. Even if it's not my preference, I can be content under His will. I think we need to hear that lesson, don't we? Basically, in verse 12, he says, I've been in every situation of life. He said, I have been a free man, and now I'm a prisoner. He said, as a Pharisee, I was once rich, I was once famous, I was once well known. As a missionary, I have gone through punishment, I've gone through poverty. The two ends of life, I've been there. He says, I've been well fed, and I've lived in times in my life when I've been hungry. He says, I've preached to people who have received the word with gladness. I have preached with others who have beaten me for preaching the gospel. He says, I've been to the best and I've been to the worst. I've been on both ends of the spectrum and the scale. I've been praised and I've been persecuted. But Paul says, wherever life takes me, God has blessed me. When I have followed His footsteps, even when the footsteps have gotten hard, God has blessed me. God has led me. God has given me strength. Now, from my perspective, we need to hear these words. It's so easy for us to be discontent. I speak from behind the pulpit as well. It's so easy for us sometimes to be discontent with life. Maybe it's with a marriage. Maybe it's with our money situation. Maybe it's our health situation. Maybe it's our happiness. We're not where we want to be in happiness. Maybe it's our station of life. We want a better job than we have, whatever it is. But so often, being discontent can set into our life. But Paul tells us in Philippians 4:13, the key as to how to be content in every station and every stop and every moment of our life. Look at chapter 4, Philippians, verse 13. This is the verse you underline. This is the verse you star. This is the page you turn a dog ear on. 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now really, what does that mean? When Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. Well, I thought about that as I wrote this sermon, as I prayed over and poured over these words. I can't do all things. I have never been able to dunk a basketball. I am challenged in height. I've never been able to run a 4-minute mile. I'm lucky to walk a mile. I've never flown a helicopter. There are so many things in my life that I've never done and that I know I will never do, things that I cannot do. So what does Paul mean when he says, I can do all things through Christ? What he's saying here is this: I can do all the things God created me to do as my purpose in life. And every one of us is different in that. Every one of us has different talents. Every one of us has a combination of the different ways that we can serve and give our lives to the living Savior Jesus Christ. For that, each one of us, that word is different for every one of us. But every one of us can do all the things God created us to do when Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We can be the minister. We can serve the purpose of our life that God created us for when we know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If I live my life for Him, and if I do what He calls me to do, and every day I pray to walk in the footsteps of Christ, and every day I'm seeking to be His minister and His servant, to take His love into the world, if I strive to live the life for Christ, then I will be content. There's where contentedness comes from. Serving the Lord however He calls you to do, however He calls you to live your life. It's not an external comfort. You can't get it by buying cars and houses and clothes. You can't get it by being famous. But rather you get it, and that contentedness comes when we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and when we strive to follow Him, serve Him, love Him, walk the footsteps of Christ in this world. There's where contentedness comes from. You'll be living the life He has given you to live. You're living the purpose He has created for your particular life. There you will be content. And basically nowhere else. Nothing else will bring that kind of contentedness. If a believer constantly resists and replaces what God's will is in your life, if a believer resists and replaces God's will, then contentedness is like that carrot that dangles out there, but you can never reach it. You have to say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm surrendered. Whatever you want me to do. The true peace of contentedness is when we say, Lord, I am available to you. I am on call to you. I am surrendered to you, Lord. I lay my life at the foot of your cross. Whatever you call me to do, you have purchased my life by your blood on that cross. Whatever you ask me to do, I am your bondservant. I belong to you. I am surrendered to you. I'll make time to serve others as you would have me to. I will make time to be a minister in my church as you would have me to. I want my life to be your life. I want my will to be your will. I want my hands to be your instruments in this world. Therein comes contentment. Therein comes peace. Wherever we are in life, if we're available to be used by Him, there will be contentedness. That's why Paul could be content even in prison, because he was reaching out to the Roman guard surrounding him. He was reaching out to the servants of the household of Caesar as he was in a jail cell. You'll see that at the latter part of this letter. He sends greetings from the people he's led to Christ in a jail cell. And he was content there, because it wasn't exactly where he wanted to be. He knew it's where God could use him the best. And therein he was content. And we seek contentedness in exactly the same way. Now, as we move on to Philippians, with verses 14 forward, Paul thanks this Philippian church because they're the one church that continues to reach out to him and take care of him and minister to him no matter where he is in life. Look at verses 14 and 15. Chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You are the only church, Paul says, that contacted me, took care of me, made sure my needs were met. You were the one, you were the only church that took care of me. And then he refers to one specific time that the church really helped him. Look at verse 16. He says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. What's he talking about there? Even when I was in Thessalonica, when I was in that city, you took care of me. You don't have to turn there, but the reference, write it down, is Acts chapter 17. We read about Paul being in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, which is the history book of the New Testament. And in Acts 17, it says that Paul was preaching Jesus Christ to the people of the city of Thessalonica, and people cried out against him. People stirred up a rabble against him, so much so that his life was even in danger. And Paul was forced to leave that city. But here in Philippians, he says, even while I was in the stress and the danger there in Thessalonica, you watched out for me. You took care of me. You reached out to me in provision and in prayer. Thank you that even when I was in danger in that city of Thessalonica, you were watching after me. I'll never forget you for that. Paul was so grateful for this family in Christ. Now, if you remember a few sermons ago, I preached on a man who left Philippi and went all 600 miles over to Rome to be with and meet with and encourage and support Paul. He was the one member of the church at Philippi that made the trip all the way across and met with Paul. His name was Epaphroditus. Remember him? It's in chapter 2 of Philippians. And the key statement from that sermon is this. When Epaphroditus came to Paul, he was Jesus with skin to Paul. He was the representative of the Savior who had given Paul life, and Epaphroditus came to minister to him in Jesus' name. And Epaphroditus was Jesus with skin to Paul. He was so grateful that the congregation of Philippi was represented in Epaphroditus coming to him. And in Philippians 4:18, Paul says this. Look at the 18th verse. He says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." So Epaphroditus not only came as a representative of the church, not only came to support him and encourage him, but also brought some items with him that Paul needed. Maybe a winter coat. Maybe writing material so he could keep on with his letters. But he brought some essential items 600 miles from Philippi to Rome to give to Paul. A long, arduous, dangerous trip. I'm sure that Epaphroditus had to guard those items very closely in order to get them to their destination in Paul's cell. Paul says Epaphroditus came bringing those items to comfort and supply my need. He never forgot that kindness, and he never forgot that support. But now look at verse 19. Paul says, "Philippian church, you have been so faithful to take care of me. You have provided for my needs, and you're serving Jesus well in the way that you've ministered to me, in the way that you've ministered to others. And because you have been faithful to the Lord as a church in reaching other people, here's how the Lord is going to respond to you. Here's what the Lord is going to do for the church at Philippi because you've been faithful to him." Look at verse 19. I love this verse. This is another underliner verse. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now think about those words. Paul says to the Philippian church, "My God is going to supply every one of your needs according to the supply that he has in Christ Jesus." That's an amazing verse when you think about the ministry of the church. God will supply our need by the riches in his supply. What an amazing verse that is. Listen, this is a huge promise that the church needs to hear. The Lord God has a huge supply warehouse for the ministry of his church. Now, all of us have been in stores like Walmart and Lowe's and Home Depot. Some of you have seen some huge warehouse facilities in the military or in your travels. You've seen some huge places in this world where things are stored. But I want you to know that God's storehouse for the church dwarfs them all. There's no storehouse like God's storehouse. There's no size of storehouse like God's storehouse for his church, for the riches of his supply for his church. The warehouse is unimaginably huge to supply our needs, according to Paul. You see, God has in rich supply anything and everything we need to reach this community and this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing lacking in our supply from God to do what we need to do as his people. Amen? There is no lack of supply for his church. But here's the question. How do we, the church, tap into that supply of God's riches that he has waiting and holding just to give to us that we might serve him in the best way possible? How do we tap in to the warehouse? Well, we simply need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, please use my church to bring this community and this world to your Son. We pray that you bless this ministry. Lord, I, for one, within this ministry, ask that you bless me, that I will do whatever possible with my talents and my life and my energy and my time, that I will serve you well. I surrender myself, I surrender my church, that we can bring the world to Jesus Christ. Here I am, here we are yours. Use us in your ministry in this world. However you call us out, we will follow you. And with that prayer, with that mindset, the doors of the warehouse swing open to meet our every need of ministry. That's the promise of God's Word. I've told you before, I will tell you again, there are over 7,000 promises in this holy Word of God, and He's never broken one of them. He will not break this promise. The warehouse is available for the children of God in the church when we are going to do what He calls us to do in ministry. That's His Word. That's His promise to us. If we will step out in that faith, however He leads us, we don't have to worry about money. It's in His warehouse. He will supply that to us. Now, truly, He supplies it to us largely through us, but He supplies it to us when we are freely going to allow Him to use us in ministry. It's in the warehouse. He'll make sure we have what we need. We don't have to worry about resources. They're in the warehouse. He will take care of us. He will provide every resource we need to do ministry in this world. That's the promise. We won't have to worry about people. If we truly say, Lord God, we want to be your ministers in this world, there's going to be a line of people who say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to give my life to you. There are ministries that I want to do. That's us, friends. But He will supply the need because He's the Lord of the warehouse. That's His promise to us. But I want you to remember this. God will not supply the faithless. And God will not supply the lazy. And God will not supply or honor those who will not trust Him in faith. We have to be a people of faith. We have to be a people who are willing to step out and do what He calls us to do. The truest expression of faith is this: when we step out to do something that we cannot do on our own. When we depend on His resources and His strength and His leading and His warehouse, that's when we are the people of faith. Not deciding on what we know we can do, but rather to step out on what we know our God can do through us. That's people of faith. That's the church of faith. That's the church of Philippi that He's addressing here. That's the church of Clifford that He addresses 2,000 years later. That we're people of faith who are willing to step out in true faith in Him. And we finish the book of Philippians, Paul giving all the glory to God. Look at verse 20. He says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And then he also sends greetings, and this is very common in the day to send greetings to those who are going to be recipients of this letter. So he says, "I'm sending you greetings from the Christians who are surrounding me here in Rome." He includes members of the church in Rome. He includes soldiers and workers in the very household who serve him in jail. And as I said earlier in the sermon, that means that Paul led them to Christ. He's sending greetings from brothers and sisters. God had used him, even in a jail cell, to lead soldiers to Jesus, to lead household workers to Jesus. And he said, "I'm sending you greetings in Philippi from these who surround me, who have come to Jesus here." Look at verses 21 and 22. He says, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." These are the fruit of Paul's ministry while he was in a jail cell. People he had led to Christ. And he ends this letter with the last words, verse 23, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." I love these words. I love these words about a content church. I love these words about a church that is not only content, but intent on doing the will of God. I love the promises of this letter that say if we are intent in doing the will of God, His warehouse, His rich supply is available to us. And He will give us what we need to do whatever He calls us to do. What an amazing blessing that is. That's a promise of God in His Word. God loves the content church. The church that is willing, and wherever we are found, that we're going to be willing to serve Him. You know, I remember when I was a kid, an ad that came out. I don't know if it was a local ad or a nationwide ad, but I just remember this ad about milk. And it said, the milk we serve, the milk we bring to you, comes from contented cows. Any of you remember that ad? Coming from contented cows. Do you know how to make a cow content? I have no idea how to make a cow content. We have some farmers in here, I'm sure, could fill me in on how you make a cow content. But the letter of Philippians tells us how to make a person and a church content. And it comes by following and serving Jesus Christ with all we have. Laying our life before Him. The best ministry will come from a contented church. People are willing to follow. A church filled with believers who are just surrendered to following Christ. And when a church has that commitment, the storehouse of God is open to supply us through His richness. That's His promise. Brothers and sisters, today, a contented church begins with individually contented Christians. Are you content in the Lord? Are you content in doing what God has called you to do? Maybe today it's time for you and me to just say, Lord, I come before You to say, I want to be totally, fully surrendered to You. I want my life to be Your life. You know, I love those words of John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. I want my will to be Yours, Lord. I want to be surrendered to You. Use me however You see fit to use me. And when all of us say that in prayer and commitment together, it becomes a contented church. And God can take a little church buried in a little community where nobody knows where we are. And friends, we can change the world. Not because it's us, but we're instruments in His hands. And if we pray, dear God, change the world through us, however He sees fit to do so, He will. Because the doors of the storehouse are wide open. How many of us today will say, Lord, I'm Yours. Here am I. Send me. That's a life of contentment. Today, if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, let me close with this. If you do not know Him, I may not know you very well. In fact, maybe I've never met you before. But I can tell you this. You're not content. And your life is not at peace. Because there's only one way to come to contentment, and that's knowing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. The first step on the road of peace and contentment is to say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on a cross for me. I believe You shed Your blood for me. I believe that You walked from the tomb in resurrection as my living Lord, and I want to give You my life. I want my will to be Yours. I want to lay my sin at Your cross. I'm sorry for what I've done against You in sin. I'm so sorry. That's called repentance. I lay down my sin before You. I ask You to forgive me through Your death on that cross. Come to live in my heart, Lord. I want to belong to You. And today will be Your first step on the road of contentment and peace. Church home, whatever you need, the Lord Jesus meets us now. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, thank You for these words. These words have challenged me this week. Lord, I want to have a contented life. I want to have a life of peace. But I realize, Father, that comes by full surrender before You. So, Lord, I pray that You bless me as You've touched me through these words. I pray that You have blessed us to hear these words, Lord. And whatever You ask us to be, wherever we are in life, will be surrendered to you. And as a church, Lord, I pray that we will be surrendered to you, because the doors of the storehouse of the rich supply of God for His people are wide open. Every resource, everything we need is wide open to us, Lord, if we just follow you in faith and surrender. Bless this church. Bless every church of every hearer of this sermon, Lord, to be that surrendered, content church of God. Bless that one who needs you today, Lord. I know their heart is crying for peace and contentment. And here's the source right here, knowing Jesus as Savior. It's the first step. May that one come today. Church home, whatever the need, meet us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.